Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Psalm 29 is provided for us to give us an awesome sense of the holy transcendence of God. And it's doing this to correct what is the natural problem of people of refashioning and recreating God into our own wicked imaginations. The imagery here is powerful. It's imagery used to completely raid people's corrupted minds of lowering God into an image made into the image of man. How does he do that? He describes a storm. And you don't appreciate this psalm unless you're taken out into the middle of the storm, seeing how awful it is. I don't know if you've ever been in the middle of an awful storm, but you only know the total power of a storm when you see the devastation and everything of it destroys in its wake. It leaves in its path. Verses 3 through 9 of Psalm 29 describe a storm. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. I want you to picture this. I believe what's being described here is something the Jews feared. These awful storms would come over the Mediterranean Sea. And deep in the blackness of the night, a storm begins. We've seen storms like this over the newscasts, and we see the cloud formations happen deep within the sea, and everyone fears that that storm may come toward land. It's an awful thought to think that all of those formations covering like a blanket the radar screens might come our way. Deep within the Mediterranean Sea, a storm begins to form, and it raises up like a blanket of black terror, and it's heading for the land. Nothing can stop it. As it comes to the shore, it comes in hurricane-like fury. It sweeps down the entire strip of the land of Canaan, disappearing deep within the desert to the south. Everything left behind in the wake of that storm is utterly destroyed and laid bare. The psalm is correcting our view of God, our low view of God, by describing him as this storm. The thunder being like his voice. Notice it. Notice how powerful the voice of the Lord is. Everyone who heard it, everyone who came in contact with it, dropped and trembled. It makes everything shake and tremble in its path. The closest thing we have to understanding that is thunder. Powerful rolling thunder that does nothing but shake the ground under your feet, like the monsoons in Arizona. Job 37, at this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place. Hear attentively the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He sends it forth under the whole heaven, his lightning to the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain them when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. Here our psalm says that. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. If you can picture off in the distance, there is coming. You hear thunder. And everyone is telling you, get out of the way. Notice in verses 5 through 7 of this psalm, the storm moves down from Lebanon. Lebanon, the border, the northern border of the land. Picture this storm now coming onto the land. The first thing it confronts are the massive cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. If you were to go over to the Mediterranean, you would find these massive cedars of Lebanon. Redwood style and size. altitudes of 3,000 to 7,000 feet. The ancient civilizations built everything of strength out of these massive Lebanon cedar trees. Solomon's temple was built from these great cedars. So powerful they were that they couldn't move them by land. They had to float them down the river in rafts. Verse 6 mentions Sirion. That's another name for Mount Hermon, sitting on the northern border of Lebanon and Syria is Mount Hermon. Its top reaches well over 9,000 feet. Imagine this massive mountain, and these powerful cedars towering over the sky, and the Lord storms through the Mediterranean. And as he approaches the land, it says the Lord splits open these cedars everywhere. He makes them skip like a calf from his presence. They skip away at his terrifying presence as the rage of his glory bursts these cedars, splintering them into bits. That's what's being described. The mountain itself, Sirion, skips before him like a wild ox, a young wild ox running in terror. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire coming down the side of the mountain. It tears through, and all you see are strips of fire lighting up the whole mountain. Do you get what is just described? The mighty Mediterranean makes a path for the Lord, thundering through. The most formidable foe, the greatest symbol of strength and power, the cedar in Hermon, is represented as nothing before the Lord in his storming glory. The mountains tremble and bow down at this storm as it makes its way through the desert. Verse 8, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh, the holy desert. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. It makes its way from the land out into the deep wilderness of the south. It describes animals that are pregnant. And as they hear this voice, they do nothing but drop and give birth right then and there. They're so overwhelmed with fear. The whole wilderness floor shakes, and from under its inhabitants' feet, everything in its path is stripped bare. You know, I don't know how many people, how do you feel when you turn on the news and you see this? You know? You see tornadoes hit regions of the Midwest and a whole string of them at once, and it utterly lays bare every neighborhood, every tree, every home, every building is crushed and devastated and flattened. We think of the Japan earthquake. The world watches on with horror and devastation. We're going to see lots of this stuff, storms raging through. Everyone blames Mother Nature. Mother Nature was angry today. That's not what the people of God are saying. What are the people of God doing? They're running to his temple. They want to worship. They're overwhelmed with the power of God. They're in his temple praising God. In other words, their view of God is so lofty, so high, so transcendent. They're so overwhelmed by his power. They don't question him. As they know him in his holiness, they fear him in his greatness, they're confronted with his sheer majesty, the majesty of this God. They prostrate themselves before him. And what does the psalm say? In his temple, everyone cries out, glory. What other word could be used to describe the Lord in this kind of power? Glory. There is the glory. They're in his temple saying, glory. Listen, the reason we don't have today this kind of overwhelming experience in worship, and I use that carefully because experience is abused, but I mean proper experience according to knowledge. The reason we don't have that is because our conceptions of God are way too earthly. We've so lowered him to one of us, we find nothing magnificent about him. And you want to know why they are too earthly? Are our hearts prepared to worship? Have we come like David? Let all who come to the house of the Lord ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Have we come to prostrate ourselves before him, or have we belittled him by taking lightly our sin, by refusing to see ourselves in the light of his majesty and fall and cover our faces with shouts of fulfilling glory? You see, we're not overwhelmed with the storm. You see, we're not overwhelmed with the storm, but his utter sovereign control. The storm teaches us something about the character of our God, the holiness of our God, the sovereign control of our God, the power over everything that he has. We're overwhelmed that the voice of our Lord did triumph over many waters. You see what's described here? Picturing the storm deep within the Mediterranean Sea, coming onto land, confronting the foes, stripping the land bare, going out into the wilderness. What are we seeing here? You know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he came here, when he was in his dwelling place, when he was sleeping in the bottom of the boat, remember? One day there was a storm out on the sea. His own were utterly terrified. And he arose out of his chamber. First thing he said is, "Why do you fear, O you of little faith?" Who's in control? Who is God? And then Jesus lifted up his voice, and the sea was calmed. He thundered to the shore. There met him the cedars of Lebanon, a man with a legion of demons in his heart. And he shattered that dominion in that man's heart by speaking. Down the mountain, those powers skipped right into the heart of the sea. Remember? They went into the herd of swine. And then he went out in the wilderness. And wherever he went, the strongholds of Satan were stripped bare. All the angels of heaven and all of his people could say of him, what did they testify? "We beheld the glory." This is the glory. This is the one. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His voice breaks the hardest of hearts. You see, that's who this psalm is ultimately describing. It's describing the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I lament today that the most fundamental attribute that has to be present, the awful transcendence of God, is completely lost today. The gulf that separates the creature from the Creator is bridged today. He has been made one of us. There's no sense of his greatness. There's no sense of his holiness. There's no sense of his transcendence, of his otherness. Today, he is so refashioned into our image that we have lost all sense of reverencing the Lord in his holiness, doing what this psalm says. Ascribe to the Lord, O you mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Worship, dear listener, is not doing whatever your heart leads you to do. Your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Worshiping is bowing down, crying out to the God of heaven and earth, knowing his holiness, knowing his justice, saying glory to all who come and embrace him with that kind of reverence and godly fear, understanding that he's just and holy and will punish sin. The Lord extends a covering to his people. He covers them from the wrath to come by imputing to their accounts the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Dear listener, do you have that righteousness? Founding Grace Radio is brought to you by United Reformed Church here in Linden. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days are the worship service times. LindenURC.com is the website. 360-318-0429 is the phone number. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.